924, Acts chapter 15, verses 19 through 29. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. This is the word of the Lord. As we now come to the Jerusalem Council's response to the controversy that was laid before it, it is worth summarizing once more the controversy itself and what James said concerning it. The controversy was this: whether the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, whether the Gentiles could become members of the church without first becoming Jews. For there were some who were saying, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And again, if any would believe in Christ, it is necessary that they be circumcised and that they be ordered to keep the law of Moses. But first Peter and then Paul set before the Jerusalem Council, they set before the apostles and the elders the truth that had been revealed to them by Christ, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the same promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It was not necessary that they become Jews in order to become Christians. It was not necessary that they be circumcised in order to belong to Christ. It was not necessary or right to lay upon them the yoke of Moses. It was not necessary because the law of Moses had been fulfilled in Christ. And it was not right because they themselves were unable to bear that law. And what Peter and Paul proclaimed, it was not something new. What they proclaimed was in accordance with the scriptures. What they proclaimed was in fulfillment of the scriptures. The Old Testament itself proclaimed a day when the Gentiles would be gathered and called by God's name. This was the controversy that was set before the Jerusalem Council. And that brings us to the judgment of James, to what he said concerning the controversy. His judgment was this, that they should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from what has been strangled, and from blood. And to this, he adds this reason, for from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Now, if we would summarize this judgment, we should begin by recognizing that James is here speaking against those who were saying that it was necessary for those Gentiles who became believers. He was speaking against those who were saying it was necessary that they be circumcised and that they be ordered to keep the law of Moses. But if the Gentiles were not required to keep the law of Moses, are we then to understand that they were under no rule of obedience? Well, this cannot be. This cannot be because of what James goes on to say. No, they should not be required to keep the law of Moses, but they should abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. Now, we have had opportunity to consider those things before. And as we said at that time, when we look at these four things together, we may understand that James is calling the Gentiles to keep themselves unstained from idolatry, to keep themselves from idols, to abstain from the practice of idolatry. Here James is not laying upon the Gentiles the law of Moses, nor is he laying upon the Gentiles a part of the law of Moses. Here he is laying upon the Gentiles the law of Christ. He is laying upon the Gentiles the rule of Christ. He is calling them to that way of life that is fitting for those who are united to Christ. He is calling them to that way of life that belongs to all who follow after Christ, to those who bear the name of Christ. It is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Or as John says at the end of his first letter, little children, keep yourselves from idols. The one who has faith in Christ, he is not called to lawlessness. The one who has faith in Christ, he is called to the obedience of faith. He is called to the obedience of Christ. He may still be in the world, but he is no longer of the world. The life of Christ becomes his rule. Christ becomes his way, his love, his joy, his delight. He no longer gives himself to idols, but he gives himself to Christ. He does not retain a part of himself for idols. He gives the whole of himself to Christ. For Christ gives the whole of himself to us. We can have all of him or none of him. We cannot have part of him. And Christ will have all of you or none of you. He will not be satisfied to have part of you. We turn to him wholly, and we give him everything. And so it is required that we let go of everything. And this is hard to do. It is difficult to let go. But when at last we do, when at last we let go, when at last we let go of this world, when we let go of ourselves, even of our lives, we learn that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so in the end, we may say that the judgment of James is this: to lay upon the Gentiles no other burden than the burden of Christ. And with this judgment, Moses himself agrees. And those who have heard Moses proclaimed every Sabbath, if they have believed him, then they will receive this judgment. For this judgment, it comes from Christ. All who have heard Moses and all who have believed Moses, they will believe Christ. For Moses did not proclaim himself. He proclaimed Christ. John chapter 5, verse 46. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how then will you believe my words? Let us then not misunderstand this judgment of James. in saying that the Gentiles should not be required to take upon themselves the law of Moses. He is not saying that they are free to ignore the law of Moses. Nor is he saying that the Old Testament has nothing to do with them or nothing to say to them. If we listen to James carefully, we have here what may be called the rule of faith. And the rule of our faith consists in this, in the words of the prophets and in the testimony of the apostles. In the scriptures of the Old Testament and in the scriptures of the New Testament. It is in both that we hear the voice of Christ. It is with both that we have the fullness of Christ. We do not give ourselves to one testament only. We do not feel free to ignore one testament wholly. Nor do we interpret one testament without the other. We interpret each one by the other. We read the New Testament in light of the Old Testament. We read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. And if Christ is present in all the scriptures as he is, then it is necessary that we read all the scriptures, for it is with all the scriptures that we have the whole Christ. It is from all the scriptures that we are nourished by Christ. The words of the prophets and the testimony of the apostles, together they form for us the rule of our faith and the rule of our obedience. And though we are not under the law of Moses, when we read that law in the light of Christ, we come to understand the rule of Christ. And now at last we come to the council's decision. And the decision of the council was no different than the judgment of James. The decision of the council was in agreement with the judgment of James. And the council determines to write to the church in Antioch, to send its letter by the hand of men chosen from among them, with Paul and Barnabas, that by that letter and by the words of those men, they might understand the ruling of the church. And we are told that this decision is what seemed good to the apostles and the elders. But notice what else is said. Acts chapter 15, verse 22. It seemed good to the apostles and the elders with what? With the whole church. Notice. See how the apostles and the elders gathered as a council. See how they spoke on behalf of the whole church. By that council, it was not merely a council that was speaking. By that council, it was the church that was speaking. But but there is more. It was not only the church speaking by that council. It was also the Spirit who was speaking. For we do not only read that it seemed good to the apostles and the elders. We read verse 28 that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than this. It is important that we pause here. That we see here the unity of the church being expressed in this council. Here we see the unity of the church being expressed in a council of the church. The voice of this council is the voice of the church. And the voice of the church is the voice of the Spirit. And the voice of the Spirit is the voice of Christ. And the voice of Christ is the voice of the Lord. See in this council one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And so we may understand why it was that the judgment of this council was to be received with reverence. And why its words were to be received with obedience. Here we are assured that their judgment was not merely the judgment of men. It was the judgment of Christ speaking through his church by his Spirit. And so we see how Christ has given authority to the church. And when the church sits in council, when she sits in judgment, she sits as one with authority. She speaks by the Spirit. She speaks with the voice of Christ. That is why when her judgments conform to the rule of faith, when her decisions conform to the words of the prophets and the testimony of the apostles, then we are called to submit to her. We are called to submit to her judgments, to submit to her decisions as we would submit to Christ. for it is his will that in her and through her we would hear his voice. It is why we call the church our mother. We are called to heed her wisdom. Called to listen to her instruction. For she is the one who feeds us with the food of Christ. As we see this authority that Christ has given to the church, we should not marvel so much at the authority, but at the purpose for which he has given it. And that authority will never be exercised rightly if we do not understand its purpose. What is the purpose for which the church here exercises its authority? It is out of concern for those who have been troubled. It is out of concern for those whose minds have been unsettled by words that were not the words of the church, by words that were not the words of Christ. This is why the church has been given authority. Not to make much of herself, but to make much of Christ. Not to exalt herself, but to care for the least among her. To care for those who belong to him. Here is the proper use of the church's authority. We do not invoke it because we love authority. We invoke it because we love him. And because we love those who belong to him. So then, let us keep ourselves from idols, and let us love one another. Amen.